Soccer fans, this is it, your weekend. Brazil and the Netherlands face off for third place at the World Cup on Saturday, and Germany will play Argentina in the final on Sunday. Millions of fans around the world are expected to tune in for the final matches. We wanted to help you get ready, but we also wanted to touch on some of the important stories that have been going on off the field, or rather the pitch, as they say in soccer as well. Joining us once again from Rio de Janeiro is Ricardo Zuniga. He's Latin America sports editor for the Associated Press. Ricardo, welcome back. Thanks for joining us again.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks for having me.
Also joining us, Greg Howard. He's editor of Deadspin soccer website Screamer and a writer for Deadspin. Greg, welcome to you as well. Thanks for coming.
Hey, Michelle. How you doing?
I'm good. So, Ricardo, let me start with you because Brazil was really in mourning after that 7-1 defeat by Germany earlier this week. What's the mood like in Brazil now? Are people still interested?
I think they've lost a lot of interest in the tournament. Obviously, their main goal was to reach the final, and not only reach the final, but to win it all. And after such a demoralizing loss against Germany, it really dampened the mood over here. No one is really interested either in playing or watching this third-place game. And the fact that Argentina, Brazil's main football or soccer rival, is in the final, it's even worse for them. It's like rubbing salt on the wound. So they will be watching Sunday's final, but the interest will be for them to for Germany to win, even though Germany beat them so badly. They would rather see Germany win than Argentina.
Well, you know, the team faced two enormous hurdles at the later rounds. I mean, Neymar, badly hurt in the quarterfinals against Colombia, took him out of the tournament. And then the captain, Thiago Silva's suspension. Will Silva be back for the final? Does Brazil have a chance to take third, even though, as you said, kind of the wind is out of the sails at this point?
Yeah, Silva is back. He had just a one-game suspension because of accumulation of yellow cards. And right now it's up for grabs. That third place match, Netherlands coach Luis Van Gaal already said after losing to Argentina in the semifinals that they didn't want to play that match. I think Brazil has at least some motivation to win it, so they don't leave the tournament with such a sour taste in their mouths, and they at least leave a good last impression with their fans. So I think Brazil obviously has some advantage there. They also have an extra day of rest. And you got to remember that the Netherlands played their semifinals on Wednesday. Brazil played theirs on Tuesday. And the Netherlands also played 30 extra minutes. So Brazil has several advantages over the Netherlands for that match.
Greg, what's been the big story of the tournament for you?
Besides Luis Suarez, I think the Brazil match against Germany and them getting through up the way that they did is probably going to be the thing that people talk about for years, actually. I mean, it's one of the most shocking things I think anyone has ever seen in the sport.
Well, you know, you mentioned that Luis Suarez, we're talking about that this is the Uruguay player who was thrown out of the games for biting another player. This is not the first time that he's done this. But, you know, the uglier side of the game has been on display in this tournament. I mean, the fact that Neymar was hurt so badly because he was kneed in the back and he reportedly couldn't feel his legs after the injury. And then, of course, there are the concussions, which you also wrote about. Do you think that this might be an inflection moment where this side of the sport gets more attention?
It's hard to tell, especially with concussions. I mean, I think it's a big story here because of American football. But I don't know. I mean, Ricardo probably knows better than I do if they're talking about concussions in Brazil, in Uruguay, where Alvaro Pereira, you know, he was hit in the head in back-to-back games really hard. One time he was knocked out and had to, he actually yelled down the team doctor and was put back in the game. I don't know how it is in the rest of the world, but in America, I think that's one thing that people are talking about a lot, and that's probably due to the fact that we are more aware of the danger of concussions due to American football.
Ricardo, what do you think? What do you think? I mean, as we mentioned, these kinds of incidents have happened all along. But they, as we mentioned, this in this country, in the U.S., this has been the most watched tournament, you know, ever. It's been in huge numbers. Do you think that this kind of worldwide focus on this kind of injury will perhaps be a game changer in some way.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I agree with Greg in the fact that with the concussion story, it has been more talked about in the States than over here in Latin America. The football culture in Latin America is very much a macho culture. So for a player to go out of a game because he got knocked down and he lost consciousness for a second, they would never do that. So in a way, it's fairly similar to the what we call American football, quote unquote, NFL culture in the States, where players usually wouldn't come out of a game because they got knocked down, but now they have a concussion protocol over there, which FIFA is supposed to have, but they sometimes just don't apply it. Over here, like you mentioned, the Alvaro Pereira's case with Uruguay, for the Uruguay people and the Uruguay media, they couldn't believe that it was such a big issue that people were talking about why did they allow Pereira to go back when, for us, looking at that from the outside, it was probably obvious that he needed to come out of the game. I'm not really sure this is going to change. There would have to be a culture change, not only the rules. The team doctors, have a vested interest in the player going back. They don't respond to an independent body that oversees the well-being of the players. They respond to the coach, and the coach needs the player to go back to the field, and the player wants to go back to the field. So, like you saw with Pereira in the Uruguay match, or like you saw with Mascherano in the Netherlands match. Mascherano was also shaken after taking a head-to-head hit, and he went back on the pitch, and actually he played probably his best match of the tournament after that. He saved Argentina's from losing at the very last second when he deflected a Roman shot on goal. So, I don't think it's going to change much, even though it has gotten a lot of attention.
So let's, Ricardo, a couple minutes left. I wanted to get your take on how Brazil has done as host country. As we mentioned, the total bill will reportedly be around $11 billion. And as one analyst said, that's $1 billion for every goal Brazil scored so far. Before the tournament began, people were there was a lot of discussion around whether this was an appropriate use of state dollars, whether this was really worth all the money. What do you think is the sense of it now? What do you think the conversations are going to be after all the visitors leave?
Yeah, I think the conversation will be that some of the stadiums that were built were unnecessary, and the money spent on them could have been spent on better things for the common people, especially the four stadiums that are going to probably become white elephants, and they cost the total cost for those four was $1.6 billion. Those are the ones in Brasilia, Natal, Manaus, and Cuiabá. Those four cities, they don't have major professional teams, so they are already looking at what uses they can give to the stadiums. But these are facilities that cost upwards of $300 or $400 million, and they're probably going to become white elephants. So in the coming years, as we see this, all these facilities not being used, I think there's going to be some outrage over here on the money spent on the World Cup.
So, Greg, let's turn to the final game, Argentina versus Brazil. Germany, of course, coming off of just its pummeling of Brazil. Argentina versus Germany. So what's your take on the final match? Who has the advantage?
Mm-hmm. I think Germany do. I think they've been the best team in the world for probably the last year. And even though, the tournament's been, a drag for a lot of teams, especially you hear people saying that no great team has put in a great performance. But Germany are the better team, and they are they're coming in off destroying Brazil. I can't look past them over Argentina. Argentina, they have barely conceded this tournament. I think it'll be tight for that reason, but I really can't imagine any other scenario than Germany dominating the game, and they might win 1-0 or 2-1. I think it'll be close, but I think Germany will they'll dominate the most of the play, and I think they're gonna hoist the trophy at the end.
Ricardo, what about you?
Well, if I had to pick with my brain, I would pick Germany like Greg does. I'm going to go with my heart, and I think the fact that Argentina has the best player in the world and who is looking to become probably the best player ever, and he just needs to win a World Cup, that's Messi. So I'm going to assess Messi swings the balance towards Argentina 1-0.
He does. Messi, you say him alone. So I guess that he better get wrapped in bubble wrap, right, before the for the weekend and make sure that he's taken care of. Okay, nobody touch him. Nobody with a cold go anywhere near him, right? All right. Ricardo Zuniga is AP's Latin America sports editor. He joined us on the line from Rio de Janeiro. Greg Howard is the editor of Screamer, that's Deadspin soccer site. He was with us from New York. Thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me, Michelle.
Thanks for having me.